has the idea of poison, and it comes from a Latin word, toxicus, which means bow poison, where they would dip an arrow into a poison, and they would shoot an arrow at an animal or a person, and they would poison that person. And, you know, the Bible talks a whole lot about our thought life and how that Satan shoots fiery darts at our mind. And his fiery darts are toxic. In other words, they are designed to kill, steal, and destroy. The thoughts that the Lord puts in our minds is so that we might have life and life abundantly. Satan divides, he kills, he steals, he destroys. That's what those thoughts are. Those thoughts are toxic. Now, can I say this? I know, because I still deal with toxic thinking. Every one of us has areas in our lives where our thinking is toxic. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. If you think that you're just pure in all your thoughts, that's toxic, because you're not. Sometimes you get an attitude about something. Sometimes you are in unforgiveness, or you judge people, or you just overall have a stinky negative attitude, and that's toxic. And it's toxic to you. Not only is it toxic to people around you, it's toxic to you. Dr. Caroline Leaf made the statement, "I cannot prove nor disprove it." I tend to agree with it, but I do know this. I totally agree with it where our worldview is concerned, how you view the world that you live in, that all of our thoughts either come from faith or fear. And if we go back to the fall of man, you think about what happened in the Garden of Eden when man sinned. He became aware of his own nakedness. He became aware of his own vulnerability. He became aware of his own shame. He became self-aware. I think before that, he was more God-aware. But I think he became very much self-aware. And the very first action that he did is that he ran from God. He ran from God. He didn't run to God. He ran from God. And I see this in people all the time. And it shows you that their thinking is toxic. That we don't have enough trust in God. That we don't have enough faith in God. That when we miss it, that we run to him with our problem, we have the tendency to withdraw ourselves and to run away. See, that's fear-based. And the thing that he said to God, he says, "I was naked and I was ashamed and I was afraid and I hid myself." His thoughts went from being faith thoughts to fear thoughts, and they quickly became toxic. If God would have left him alone in that state, he would have stayed in his toxic thinking. But what did God do? At that very moment, he clothed him. He clothed him. He covered his nakedness and he covered his shame. And he gave him the ideal that God can be trusted, that God is a solution and not a problem. But so many times we get caught up in toxic thinking. We do it in our relationship with God. We do it with our relationship with people. Can I tell you something as a Christian? As a Christian, I give up the right to dislike people. Now that's hard, because some people are hard to like. But really, if you're walking with God and you're living in faith and you're thinking faith thoughts, you do not have the right to dislike people. You do not have the right to hold grudges against people. Because the very action that we take that is toxic and it's fear-based. Because a lot of times the reason that we put barriers between us and other people is because we fear hurt. We fear an intrusion into our well-being. We fear an intrusion within something. and we say, well, I just don't like that person. Well, you know what? If I don't like somebody, and I've noticed this in myself, honestly, I've noticed within myself when I look at somebody and I do, and there's, I feel a pushing away, I know immediately that's toxic because I know that God does not think that way about another person. God does not dislike who I dislike. God loves who I dislike. So I don't have that option as a Christian. And if I do, then I'm entertaining toxic thinking. And I cut off any kingdom ministry to that person. Really, we ought to be praying. And I've said this many, many times before. We should be praying, Lord, teach me to love people the way that you love people. Teach me to see people the way that you see people. And he doesn't just see people as they are. He sees people's potential. He sees people through the purpose that he has designed in them. And sometimes we see people as worthless. We see people as people that we distance ourselves from. And I know that there are times that you have to distance yourself from people, but that doesn't mean that you have to despise them and hate them. That you have to hold grudges against them. This is not in my notes, by the way. There's somebody here that needs to hear this. And you know what? You can make all the excuses you want to why you hold that against somebody, but let me tell you, that's toxic. And it destroys you. It affects your life. It affects everything about you. See, you're either positive or negative. You ought to ask some people sometime. Would you say, and say, honestly tell me, am I positive or am I negative? And let them really tell you what you are. I challenge you in Jesus' name. I challenge you. Ask your spouse. Ask your kids if you got grown kids. Ask your friends. Would you say that I'm basically a positive person or a negative person? And if they say, well, you're about 50-50, then guess what? You've got some toxic thinking going on in your mind. You've got some thoughts, because when other people notice those things, that's not healthy for your relationships. I love this quote. Fear is a poor chisel with which to carve out tomorrow. Fear is a poor chisel with which to carve out tomorrow. And if your mind is full of fear thinking, toxic thinking, that is the chisel that carves out your tomorrow. Your thought life is your compass in life. Not because you're a believer. Being a believer gives you the capacity to go in the right direction. But it's your thought life that becomes the compass that guides you. Whether you are thinking faith thoughts, faith-based thoughts. And how do I apply that? I try to see Laura as God sees her. And if I try to see her as a person, first of all, of value, a person of purpose, a person whom God loves, that will affect the way that I relate to her. If I just see her and I love her, but if I see her as a person that I don't like, that will reflect the way that I treat her, the way that I talk to her. I may ignore her because I don't like her. And that's toxic. Because let me tell you something. People pick up on your toxic ways. They pick up on fear. They pick up on that. You affect the people that you're around with your thoughts. Well, this is quiet crowd today. Am I at the Presbyterian Church? Today we're going to talk about how to deal with toxic thinking. I'm going to use a term that we're all familiar with, and then we're going to look at Scripture. And we're going to look at it hard and fast. It's called meditate. Everybody say meditate. How can I replace? Because I guarantee you, if you're a human being and you live in a fallen world, you have some toxic thinking. You have some toxic thinking. Just write it down. Well, I've been a Christian for 40 years. Well, you may have 40 years of toxic thinking. And it will affect your body. Because when you think toxic thoughts, it releases chemistry in your body. And many times, if it's stress-related, it releases too much chemistry in your body that begins to work against your body. But let me give you six words that we're going to look at today. Three and three. Because this is the whole essence of learning to replace toxic thinking. You can turn your toxic thinking around. Do not blame it on your upbringing. Do not blame it on your environment. Do not blame it on your parents. They may have influenced it. That may be the only thing that you've ever seen. But that you cannot blame it on them, because you as a Christian, you have the capacity of doing better than your upbringing. You really do. You can break generational curses. You can break things that have been in your family for a long, long time. Maybe you were raised in a judgmental family. Maybe it did affect you. But listen, you can make a different decision and you can turn that around in a short time in your life. And you'll do it through meditation. Now, I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. I'm not talking about yoga meditation. I'm talking about meditating in God's words. So he said something. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways." We think toxic. But God gave us his thoughts and his book, and they are not toxic. They are full of faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But you know what? When you've got toxic thinking, you see everything in your life through the glasses of fear. You see everything in your world, your worldview of everything is affected by the way that you think. And if it's toxic, then what? My sister said, she said that I was getting fat. Why did she say that? What am I doing? I'm asking. She's jealous. I answered. And then I go through that and I go through that and I'm discussing it with myself. And then I come to a conclusion, and if that conclusion is toxic, you know what that could do between me and my sister? It could put a wall between us. And that's what we do. We ask, we answer, and we discuss. And a lot of times, judgment comes in there, where we're making judgments about people based on some kind of suspicion that we have. I see Jason and Jim talking, and I'm thinking, they're talking about me. I know that they're talking about me. They may be talking about CR, but I see they look at me, and when they see me, they quit talking. Oh, they're talking about me. They don't think I'm a good pastor. You know what I'm doing? I'm asking, answering, and I'm discussing. Is that toxic? Is that toxic? That's very toxic. Why? Because it will change the way that I view them. It'll change the way that I look at them. It'll change the way that I treat them. And it'll put a barrier between us. They might have been talking about CR. They might have been talking about going fishing. But I thought they were talking about me. And I'm asking, answering, and discussing, and I'm coming to the wrong conclusion. But you know what? If you will, in the Word of God, you will ask, answer, and discuss, you can change the toxic into the healthy. Now, what's the three words? Recognize, resist, and replace. And how do we meditate? We ask, we answer, we discuss. You do this all the time. You do it all the time. when you think about situations in your life that is causing you difficulty. Maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's difficult people that you're dealing with. As you lay in bed at night and can't sleep and it keeps going over and in your mind, you know what you're doing? You're asking, you're answering, and you're discussing. The only problem is if you're not involving the Word of God in that, you're coming to the wrong conclusions and they're toxic. Okay, I got to get with it. One of the things after Moses died, God said to Joshua. He said this several times, and then I'm going to read the verse. I think at least three times he says, "Do not fear. Do not fear men. Do not fear. Moses, my servant, is dead. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear." It's amazing how many times when God or an angel would appear, their first message to the people that they appeared to was, what? Fear not. Fear not. Well, is that just a greeting? Hi, Yvonne. Fear not. Is that a greeting? No. We have the tendency to do what? Fear. We come into a situation that's new to us. What's the first thing that rises? Fear. You will deal with fear the rest of your life. You will have fear thoughts. But what you need to do is recognize, resist, and replace. How do I do that? I ask, I answer, I discuss. No, fear not is not a greeting. Fear not addresses a problem that all of us deal with from time to time. How would you fear today if a big 9-foot angel appeared in here? I don't even believe in you. Fear not. Okay? So after he told him to fear not, he told him this, and he gave him a key. He says in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." What is he supposed to do? He's supposed to say what God says. Because when you say what God says, guess what it does? It gets into your mind. It gets into your heart. It gets into your mouth. It gets into your mind. It gets into your heart. It gets into your mouth. It gets into your mind. It gets into your heart. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." How do I meditate? I ask, I answer, I discuss. Why do we do it in day and in night? Let me tell you the two best times to meditate. When you wake up and meditate yourself to sleep. That's two good things to do. Now, I'm an early bird. How many early birds we got? How many hoot owls we got? See, now, if you're an early bird, your best meditation time is in the morning. I meditate myself to sleep, and that takes 2 minutes. I go to sleep fast. So my best time is between 4:30 and 5:30 in the morning. That's when I do my best meditating. That's about the time I wake up. Some of you who are hoot owls, you may do your best meditating between 1 and 2 in the morning. Not me. I'm snoozing. Okay? That's why it says day and night. You'll be better in one than you are the other. "But let it not depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do." Not only meditate on it, but start doing it. "Observe to do according to all this written therein. For then, when you do what? When you don't let it depart out of your mouth, you meditate in it day and night, you observe to do what's written in it. It says, "For then God will make your way prosperous." That's not what it says, is it? It says, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, what was his prosperity and his success? It was leading the people of God. He says, if you'll do these things, if you'll fear not, fear is not the way that you're supposed to lead. Fear is not the way you're supposed to live your life. You live your life out of the meditation in my law. The greatest thing that we can ever do for ourselves is to take time and meditate in the Word of God. That's it. That's cool. How do I do that? I ask, I answer, I discuss. I ask, I answer, I discuss. I ask, I answer, I discuss. And the more I do that, okay, from a scientific standpoint, those dendrites get bigger and bigger, and that tree gets healthier and healthier, and it becomes a strong thought in my mind. And first thing you know, it becomes my subconscious thought. It's not even something that I have to bring to mind. It's something that's so established in my life that it changes the way that I see the world that I live in. I don't see it as a negative world. I see it as through the eyes of God's kingdom. I try to see what God is doing, not what people are doing. And I see the world different. Psalms 1, 2. It says, and it talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But he goes on in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his statutes he meditates day and night. You know what it says about him? Interesting. He shall become like a tree planted by rivers of water. What do dendrites look like? Trees. I wonder if there's any connection. Just wondering. I mean, God made the body. God wrote the Bible. Could there be that connection? I don't know. That's an interesting thought. But maybe the trees in your mind, watered by the Word of God, will be so strong. It says, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. And it goes on to say, whatsoever he does shall prosper. And it says, he'll bring forth his fruit in its season. You'll be fruitful. And guess what? It won't be wormy fruit. It'll be good fruit. Why? Because it comes out of your meditation, ask, answer, discuss of the Word of God in your own heart. See, we're too quick to ask other people their opinions about things. And one of the reasons that we ask people their opinions about things is because we don't want to study it out for ourselves. Just a thought. Just a thought. Psalms 19, verse 14. Here's the prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me give you a challenge, old toxic thinkers. When you go to bed at night, pray that prayer. And then try to hate. And then try not to forgive. And then try to worry. Ask God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Psalms 49:3. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall bring understanding. Notice what it says there. What's going to bring understanding? The meditation of your heart. If you're meditating on the Word of God, guess what you're going to be a person of? You're going to be a person of understanding. You're going to have insight. You're going to have wisdom. You're going to have understanding. If you meditate on the wrong things, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have strife. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to have wrong, toxic thinking that leads you nowhere. Psalm 63:5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Meditate on who God is. I read a book one time, The Attributes of God. It completely blew my mind. Taking one aspect of God who is omnipresent, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, all places at one time. And just taking one thing and meditating on who God is. You know what it'll do? I'll tell you what'll flee from you, fear. Fear thinking will flee from you. Psalm 77. Let's read some of this. And as I read this, I want you to think about ask, answer, and discuss. I cried out to the Lord with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, have you ever had trouble? In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, think on this. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes diligent search. What's happening here? Ask, answer, discuss. That's what David's doing. He starts out in trouble. He starts out, and sometimes when you go to bed, you will be troubled. I mean, life sometimes is not good. Will the Lord cast off forever? He's asking. And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your works and talk of all your deeds. You see the process here? He's starting out in his anguish, and he's working through his problems. He says, okay, you know, is God not loving anymore? Is he not showing favor anymore? He's asking. You know the conclusion he comes to is, no, my thinking's wrong. And then he says, here's what I got to do. I got to remember the days of old. You know, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, you've had a God moment. There have been times that God has ministered to you in your life in special ways. But you know what? The present day problem sometimes, we have the tendency to forget all the good things that God has done. And we complain and bellyache and moan and, oh, God has cast me off and he's forsaken me. Blah. And David says, you know, sometimes I just need to shut up and I need to think about what God has done. You know what he's doing? He's restoring sane thinking. He's replacing his toxic thoughts, and he's beginning, as he meditates on God and what he has done, guess what he's going to do? He's going to replace that with good thinking. Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalms 119 is all about the word. I think there may be two or three verses in that 176 verses that does not mention the word of God. This is about the word. Psalms 119:23. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates in your statutes. Why? Because the princes can speak against and plan against him all he wants to, but if he will stay true to his word, guess what? If God be for me, who can be against me? Can you say amen? Verse 27, make me understand the ways of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. You can learn more meditating in the Word of God than you can by going to a Bible school. You can. You really can. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. But one of the problems is that we don't spend any time with the Holy Spirit. Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. The more you meditate on the things of God, the more thirsty you will become. Okay, I got to finish in 1 minute and dismiss. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, you ready for this? Whatever things are true. You gossip's true sometimes. Whatever things are true. Here's a definition that you need to look at. Whatever things are noble. Gossip's not noble, is it? So it's out. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I only know one thing that qualifies for all of those, and that's the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:14-15. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. The things that God does in our lives, we need to think about those things. The gifts that He has put in our lives, we need to meditate on those things. You know what happens when we do that? We become better at what we're supposed to do. We do not allow fear to dominate our thinking, but our fear moves to faith. Now, challenging. Three things. Number one, recognize, resist, replace. Number two, ask, answer, discuss. If you'll take that as a lifestyle and on purpose meditate on the Word of God, you will change toxic thinking into healthy thinking. You'll go from fear to faith. If you're just mindless and you allow your mind to just wander and meditate on whatever it wants to meditate on, your mind will be full of toxic thoughts. Amen. All right, let's stand. Can we take hands? I feel like I need to pray for some healing. My goal today has not been to condemn, but to challenge. Because every one of us deal with toxic thoughts. Every one of us has toxic thinking. It's the thing that keeps you in your bad habits, your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Things that will lead you back to addiction. Things will lead you back into certain sins and weaknesses in your life. We need to adopt positive meditation as a part of our lives. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you love us just like we are. But you love us so much that you want to change us into your glory. Thank you for your people today. Thank you for the love that you've given us. We praise you today that we can overcome toxic thinking and we can think your thoughts. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you for being here today.